Good morning, everybody. This is Robin Ayub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to a special episode we're having today. And I want to thank the audience, and I want to thank the panel that I have with me for joining me today on this special occasion today. Today, we are celebrating the 90th anniversary of the Canadian Translation Bureau. What a great honor to be part of this celebration. What a great honor to be in presence with such esteemed colleague that I've worked with in the past. I look forward to continue working with you in the future. Such an institution, the Translation Bureau in Canada. You established, the Bureau was established in 1934, and 2024, there you go, we're celebrating our 90th anniversary of this wonderful institution that was the cornerstone on so many ways in the language industry in Canada. So thank you all for joining me. Before we get started in the actual celebration, which I have so many topics we want to address during this momentous event, would you mind going around table here, the virtual table, and introduce yourself? We'll start with the ladies, and then we'll go to the gents. Go ahead, Lucy.
Thank you, Robin. Merci beaucoup pour l'invitation. C'est vraiment un plaisir d'être ici, à participer dans votre podcast la deuxième fois qu'on participe. Donc, merci d'avoir organisé. Lucie Séguin, I was privileged and proud to work at the Translation Bureau for 7 years, 2.5 of which I was the proud CEO, and I did have an opportunity to work first with Donna Achimov and second with Stéphane Derry. It is a pleasure to be here. I think I will stop here and I'll jump in when we cover topics.
Absolutely. Donna?
Merci, Robin, et bonjour tout le monde. Merci de m'accueillir. Et quel plaisir de célébrer 90 ans du Bureau de la Traduction. I'm equally honored and privileged and thrilled to be celebrating this anniversary. I was the CEO from 2011 to 2016, and I'm proud of the Bureau and how far it's come. I'm looking forward to today's dialogue. Merci.
Absolutely. Stéphane?
Thank you. Encore merci beaucoup pour l'invitation, Robin, Stéphane Derry. J'ai eu l'honneur et le privilège d'être le président, directeur général du bureau de 2017 à 2019 et ce fut un plaisir et je vous dirais en anglais on dit a learning experience for me, mais vraiment d'avoir l'opportunité de découvrir les gens qui travaillent au bureau, puis le caractère, puis l'habileté de s'adapter du bureau. C'était une période fantastique dans ma carrière.
Thank you, Stéphane. Appreciate it. Merci bien. Dominique.
Oui, merci beaucoup de m'avoir invité. Très content d'être là. Puis moi, j'ai été PDG du Bureau de la Traduction en 2023. Puis un peu comme Stéphane le disait, réaliser à quel point l'écosystème de la traduction, l'industrie privée, le BT, les traducteurs, les universités, tout le monde gravite ensemble autour d'un bel objectif, c'est quelque chose qui m'a marqué beaucoup. Alors, très belle discussion qui s'en vient, j'en suis convaincu aujourd'hui. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Dominique. Appreciate it. Jean-François, the current CEO of the Translation Bureau.
Oui, merci beaucoup, Robin. Je veux premièrement, là, c'est extraordinaire pour un CEO de pouvoir rencontrer ses quatre prédécesseurs. This is very unique. It's an opportunity, not only that I'm still talking to all of them, I still have access to all of them, which is gold to me. It's amazing that these are all people that I've looked up to in my career. So they've all been at the Translation Bureau at very interesting times, and I've kind of studied exactly what happened in their period. But as you mentioned, 90 years, a lot of things have happened in the Translation Bureau, and the future is interesting, is bright, but there's like everything else, there's some challenges that we have to navigate, and I'm looking forward to today's conversation. And once again, Robin, thank you very much for gathering us.
Yeah, thank you, appreciate it. And you know what, you know, when I heard, you know, early in the year, we've been planning this podcast for a long time, we heard early in the year that we're celebrating the 90th anniversary of the Bureau, I got really excited because, you know, on the private sector and you know, and as a involved in the language industry individual for the past 22 years, you know, being in Canada and talking to the Translation Bureau for that amount of years, got to know your staff, got to know how we work together as industry and as a public sector, and what kind of magic formula we need to put together, not just to support our business, but the ultimate goal here is to support the government and to support the public in Canada as well from a language perspective. So having said all this, and we're celebrating our 90th year anniversary, it's such a great occasion. Would you mind doing some sort of a reflection, historical reflection on each of your tenors? You know, going back in your memories, what were the most, you know, amazing things that you've seen? If you can pick one or two things that happened during your tenure as a CEO. And we'll start with Donna, then we go to Stéphane and Lucie and go by the historical age, the historical CEO tenor, I guess, in this case.
So thank you for that. So there were many, many accomplishments. I'd like to think that the piece on accessibility was really coming into the fore in 2011. We were very much as a government committed to accessibility, diversity, inclusion, and persons with disabilities and employees with disabilities were front and center. And I have to say, on the part of the Translation Bureau, the interpreters, the sign language interpreters, really took us to the next level. We set the tone for having the interpreters at major events, major meetings, and now it's I'm very proud to say that it is the hallmark of how we do communicate. We were on a challenging note. The government had launched the Deficit Reduction Action Plan, and that required all federal departments to scrutinize their budgets and expenditures. Translation Bureau was on cost recovery, and we saw some radical changes in our business model. Long-time government departments were leaving, and that was the catalyst for us to really embrace new technologies. And we'll speak a little more about that, but
absolutely.
I'm very proud of the fact that we promoted accessibility. We made it part of the public service culture. Ça, c'est la fortesse du Bureau de la Traduction. Je suis tellement fière que ça continue aujourd'hui.
Thank you, Donna. Merci bien. Stéphane, from 2017 to 2019, any major milestones that you remember?
Well, for me, and I'll do a bit in English and a bit in French, if you're okay with that.
That's fine.
For me, it's the inclusiveness. L'identité de genre, la terminologie non-genrée à ce moment-là qui est sortie, l'intérêt, the interest of the Translation Bureau for Indigenous Languages, inclusivity, you know, it was not during my tenure, but it culminated with the translation in Indigenous Languages of the first debate in 2019, October 7, 2019, when the first leader debate in an electoral campaign was translated in five Indigenous languages. That's inclusiveness. And that shows you how the Translation Bureau has evolved from its early days, 1934, to today, and how it has evolved and always been a leader in the industry and in Canada for languages. Official languages, French and English, but also for all other languages and the hundred and some languages that the Translation Bureau provides services into. That's quite an achievement, I think, showing the inclusiveness and really making a difference for people having access to these memorable event, either a leader from other country coming to talk in Canada, and the Pope visit, which under Lucy, that I don't want to take, but that, you know, these are all example of how the Translation Bureau evolved.
Absolutely. Thank you, Stéphane. Lucy?
Oui, merci beaucoup, Robin. Puis c'est tellement le fun de voir les autres, les PDG précédents puis futurs, parce qu'il y a toujours une longévité, une continuité dans les évolutions puis les innovations. On a bénéficié de ce que Donna vient de dire, Stéphane, puis on a continué ensuite avec Dominique et Jean-François. Mais moi, je suis arrivée vraiment dans le temps. J'étais à PDG 2019-2023. The pandemic, COVID-19 pandemic hit. So basically, we saw the Translation Bureau stepping up to the plate and helping Canadians, the government, the federal government, communicate to Canadians, not only in English and French, but we were able to communicate simultaneously in English, French, more than a dozen foreign languages many, many indigenous languages, as well as the sign languages. So that was really a feat. I have to say, Robin, that none of this could have happened with the amount of volume, and we needed to reach out to Canadians very quickly. The support of the industry, the language industry, was instrumental. To get this done and to get it done right, we really had, you know, really benefited from the collaboration with the translation as well as the interpretation industry. I also this introduced new ways of working, hybrid parliament, for example. Donna was talking about the interpretation and Stefan as well, but we had to adapt to a new mode of working, and that presented a lot of challenges. So hybrid parliament meant, you know, different ways to interpret, and sound quality became an issue. So basically what we had to do then is to maintain high quality services in Parliament and elsewhere while maintaining the health and safety of our interpreters. And that work still carries on. Stefan touched on it. One of the most memorable parts of my journey with the Translation Bureau is helping support the Pope's visit to Canada. The Pope came to Canada to deliver his apology to Indigenous communities. And the Translation Bureau was there to help that make that happen in a combination more than 12 different Indigenous languages. Very humbling for us as public servants to be able to facilitate that. But shout out to Indigenous communities, because these interpreters come from different communities from across Canada. So it was very emotionally charged. But I think that is really another way that the Translation Bureau has been able to step up to the plate and be there to play a role, a critical role for Canadians. Je vais m'arrêter là parce qu'il y a plein d'autres bons moments que mes collègues sûrement vont partager.
Merci bien, Lucie. Dominique?
Merci, Robin. Puis je réalise aussi, quand je suis en présence de mes collègues, que je suis celui qui a été là pour une année, donc principalement en 2023. One of the things that did happen, and it was really interesting, is that ChatGPT 2023 really became the flavor of the day. Everybody was talking about generative AI, and I thought it was very interesting because we did realize that the translation industry was far ahead of the game compared to a lot of sectors. So we needed to educate our colleagues or other people or the industry that for the translation, it's something that had been adapted many years ago. So I would say a bit of a learning curve there. So, but very interesting time. And at the same time, realizing how ahead we were in terms of and well positioned we were for the future. And maybe also adding to that, I spent a lot of time trying to improve the health and safety condition for the interpreters. So building on the work of my predecessor on that front, Lucie's and others. So we've been able to put a lot of new measure in place in terms of the testing of the equipment. So something that I'm very, very proud of. Thank you.
Thank you, Dominique. Jean-François.
Well, a slightly different take, Robin and team, and maybe for the listener as well. As you can see, since the past 90 years, all the CEO of the Translation Bureau can brought a key component to the foundation of this great organization. I will limit myself to talk about any realization at this point as I came in January. But one thing that I could talk about is maybe what I'm looking ahead, what I see true in front of me, of course, taking all the lessons learned from the past and all the, when I heard, I think every CEO that just spoke, you know, had a special component, and then they left a signature to their tenure at the Bureau. And it's all very useful in the toolbox, whether it's technology, whether it's the business model, whether it's the health and safety is a question that comes up, and how we position the Bureau in the public sector. But quickly, I mean, we are one of the largest language service provider in the world still. I think the last time we were ranked at 17. We do millions of words. Not a lot of your listener, I mean, might know that we're also doing interpretation, like Lucie and Dominique spoke about. So a good 60,000 of hours of interpretation. Most of the organization that I meet are either operating in translation, more classic translation, or interpretation. They're sometimes different organization. We happen to be one. So that's it's an advantage, because as we see in the future, content is becoming so fluid. Where it's voice that we're talking, somebody can extract a text and do a summary of it, and that will be translated in other languages. So there's a convergence of content. So voice and text is now being treated as content that can be localized depending on the request. And you know that very well, Robin, in your current position. But to be honest, we need to put the right glasses on when we look ahead. And what AI, as Dominic spoke about, the hype of the generative AI that came in 2023, despite the Bureau was already into AI way before that, with automation, with deep learning, with neural machine translation. We were at the forefront of all those great. But to me, I see that as it's both an opportunity and a caution warning for the Bureau. Opportunity because it's going to force us to kind of move from doing translation to be in charge of translation. Most of the people in the Bureau are becoming engaged in also in the quality assessment of the translation that we do or the interpretation. I think technology and AI bring superpower to the translator and interpreters. I see that every day. If you just take the business of subtitling, is amazing. The quality is getting better and better, and that's really helping interpreter, for example. I do see a spike in demand, believe it or not, although the traditional translation demand is slowly going down. People are using all kinds of tools that they have at their fingertip to do basic translation. But I do see, and it's very important for everybody to understand that, I do see a spike in sign language demand, huge one. There's a need for that, and we can play a key role. Yep. I do have an increasing demand for interpretation as well. And Stefan and others spoke about now we're including indigenous languages, and the technology is helping us. I can now reach a community up north who are connected, and they could provide an hour of services to us without flying over. So in this current context of economical pressure, I think those are wonderful opportunity. Cautious because there are certain key, there's bias that are sometimes introduced by AI. There's definitely some mythical pieces. I've learned in one of my board I was that in the United States, some lawyers are being disbarred because they've used the generative AI for legal advice and things like that. So you're going to see some of that. And that's why I'm working, and I think the Bureau has a seat at those table to try to find a way to kind of let me see that, that the professional vetting of some certain key document is something that people are looking for, and I think we do have a place. So there is many opportunity for the Bureau. To be honest, we need to make sure the model cost per word is something that all my colleagues in the other major LSPs are looking at right now. Is that still a good model to pay for word, or people are more looking at a risk-based approach or a quality assurance approach for translation? So I think there's a place, and I'm really excited for what's ahead for the Bureau. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. And, just for the audience, for the information, the group of CEOs that we have with us here on this beautiful occasion this morning, they only cover from, not only, they cover from 2011 onward. However, the Bureau, just a reminder, established in 1934. So if we were to bring all the CEOs that passed before us to bring them, I don't think there is a possibility for that. But that would be like a very large podcast. However, one thing I would like to remind the audience, and just to piggyback on what JF has been saying, the Bureau has been on the forefront of technology, not now, but since its inception. Yeah. I was, Jeff shared with me some of the milestones that was part of the celebration. You guys put a document out explaining the milestones and the good things that the Bureau have done over the years. For example, in 1953, the first official terminology services was created. Termium database that everybody uses, that's in 1975. The Bureau acquires the University of Montreal Terminology Bank, which will eventually become Termium Plus, which everybody uses around the world and in Canada. So those are significant things that the Bureau, although, it serves, like other governments, for instance, entities, I work for the government and I'm not obligated to do any efficiency work because I work for the government. That's the notion, for our audience out there, they say, oh, you work for the government, you're not obligated to do efficiency. But on the contrary, this group, this institution has been looking for efficiencies to look down the road, as JF was saying, what is next? What's the best way I can do this? I've known you guys for 22 years, and I can vouch for that because I've talked to you about this in various occasions, and you guys brought me ideas, brought the industry ideas on how to do things better. Can we think collectively how to do things better? Having said all this, the next topic of discussion will be technology. So if we could go around the table, just within your tenor, Donna, starting with you, you know, what are the major technology innovations that you've seen that could perhaps, you know, shed some light on in this occasion of 90-year anniversary for the Bureau?
So thank you for that, Robin. And I really like how you set the context that the Translation Bureau has always innovated from 1934 to the 50s to 70s. We started to see different pressures, right? L'économie, les réductions, tout ça, c'était vraiment des grands défis à l'époque. So we saw the big challenges, and it wasn't just about reducing our cost per word. And it wasn't just about saving jobs. And I have to say, I will go on record as saying through the deficit reduction, not a single Translation Bureau employee lost their job. So that was our fundamental philosophy. It was critical for us to maintain the capacity, but it was also obligatory for us to look at efficiencies. So that's when we began to explore, what does that mean? What's the value proposition? And in those days, in 2015, we did have access to large language models, automation, and we were really spending quite a bit of time to say, what does that mean? The voice to text was huge pioneering. We didn't have any indication at that time that we would have large global challenges like the pandemic, like reaching remote communities. So the pioneering work was important. We did have a group of people, I will remember, who were highly innovative. They had late night chats with Japan and Google and looking at how we bring innovation forward. And I think that that was an important foundational piece that then acted as a springboard. So, and I'm really pleased and proud to hear that the Bureau is continuing to look, because we have to have opinions about what is the progress and what's the warning, and how do you manage the both, and how do you ensure quality documents for the Government of Canada? So I'll leave it at that and turn it over to my colleagues, who I know had some very exciting opportunities to explore technology. Back to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Donna, for the input. I really appreciate it. Stefan?
That was an interesting time. 2017, 2019, beginning of discussion about AI, the MILA in Montreal, partnership with university, that was key for me. Being there with the learning, being there with the university to where is translation going? You know, I really like something that GF said, and when he said being in charge of translation instead of doing all the translation, something like that. I'm paraphrasing GF, so no offense, please. But I thought that was quite important. You know, we had still people in 2017 that did translation with pen and paper. And taught, you know, the evolution and the shock. It's like the cellular phone. When the first cellular phone came in, you know, people said, well, nobody's going to use the bank teller. Nobody's going to use a cellular phone. Today, I don't think not too many people have landline in their homes. So that was a little bit of the une révolution qu'on a vu à l'intérieur du bureau. But this is, and to me, the biggest important thing in technology, how do we ensure quality? How do we, and that's where we went back in 2017 to 2019. And that's what I believe it's still the role of the Bureau today. And that's why I really like what GF said, you know, being the safeguard of the language, being the safeguard of the translation. And that's what we were repositioning the Bureau to be, really looking at quality. Using all the tool, promoting a new system, informatic system for translation, but using all the tool available, AI and all this, while maintaining, ensuring the quality for the right of Canadian to get their information in the both official languages. So I think that's important, and I think that's still the key today. And also, to me, that was showing the AI was showing also the gap between AI, machine translation, and knowing your client, knowing the business. I think that was also important. These tools can help us speed up. But understanding the business, the legal of lawyers, understanding the defense industry, and that's where, with the right tool, you know, having the translator assigned and really dedicated to their client and understanding the business was key for me in using AI, using the tool, using more of the tool while ensuring quality of translation.
Absolutely. And thanks for that, Stefan, because I remember, I still remember your first day on the job. You did a speech at one of the industry days that we hold yearly. We used to hold the face-to-face. I think we're going back to that now. Industry roundtable, used to call it. And I remember your first speech, and you talked about this. I took note of it, and I remember you saying, you know, regardless of what technology you use, we still need to govern the quality. We still want to make sure we don't use technology at the expense of quality. That's fine. Innovation can happen and innovation will happen, but we're not going to sacrifice, you know, our strong connections as Canadian, as government, as Transition Bureau, to sacrifice the way we feel and you know, from a quality perspective about our languages here in Canada. So I appreciate that. Lucy, on your side?
Oui, merci beaucoup. C'est tellement intéressant d'écouter l'évolution. Plus ça me remet dans ces belles années-là. Donc, really building on the achievements and the accomplishments of Donna under her tenure, and then Stefan talking about technology. Stefan had initiated the relationships, collaborations with the universities, Université de Montréal. Yoshua Bengio and Stefan were like rubbing, getting along very well, but we were able to get help from the students within the Université de Montréal that had those skills, that the information artificial intelligence skills, and match them up with the students that were in the linguistic programs. You know, the Translation Bureau sits on a wealth of information, 4 billion terms translated in the hand, just the data that we have in the Hansard, our translation memories. So that was key. And then we started to uncover the potential of all this data. So matching the data, working with universities, as well as the National Research Council, who we engaged to build algorithms and to introduce neural machine translation. Stefan had undertaken the initial phases, but we basically implemented, we went to market, private sector, and we basically acquired a new translation management system that allowed us to plug in different types of technologies. I have to say that new program was also done in collaboration with the private sector. Robin, your members of your association, because this tool and this system was accessible not only to the Translation Bureau employees, but all of our linguistic service providers were able to manage and help us manage the amount of translations we needed to do through this system. I'd say, so now that pushed us into a new era. Stefan mentioned people translating with paper and pen, so we were now beyond. We moved during the period where I was there from 2019 to 2023-ish, well, just end of 2022. Basically, we had the translation memories as our key first step. Then we'd get the neural machine translation engines and algorithms to plug the holes. And then we kept the human with the real intelligence to basically make sure that the output made sense with all of the, making sure that the terminology was correct. And that helped us to produce high quality translations in a much faster time. Then came the pandemic. It was good that we had set all this up because there was no more time. We needed to inform Canadians very quickly on what was happening. Terminology became very important, talking about technology, but COVID pandemic terminology glossary, because do you remember things like household bubbles and school bubbles and two family bubbles, oxygenators, and all of these terms that came in? Well, we had to do a lot of work, and the work that the Translation Bureau did in the defining the terminology English and French was used internationally, because then we were able to, G7 nations, NATO organizations, EU, were using our terminology that we provide for free through the language portal of Canada, so that Francophones and Anglophones across the world were able to understand what was happening. So there was a lot of collaboration internationally during that time. But tech, as you said, Donna and others have said, Jean-François, we've been able to evolve since 1934. I have never been part of an organization that has been able to successfully go through those transformations. And I'm very optimistic for the future, because the people that work at the Translation Bureau, they are adaptable.
No, I appreciate that. And, you know, you talked about the technology that you've acquired, the management system that you acquired. And that's and I got to give you, you know, kudos on this one, because as collectively for the Bureau, you've been able to install this and make it work and run. You know, we all, you know, in the public domain, I'm not, you know, spilling any secrets. You know, the media's talk about, you know, some other projects that the government attempted on that scale. And, you know, it took forever to install, faced major difficulties, but you guys seem to have put it together, installed it seamlessly, effortlessly. It sounds like I'm sure there's a ton of effort internally. I'm sure you went through a lot of bumps and bruises internally, but you made it work. That's the point. And installing complex systems in coordination with legacy systems, that's not an easy feast. You know, I've been in the tech business for a while. I know what that is. But you guys, you know, kudos to you. You were able to pull this together. Dominique, on your side, anything comes to mind from a tech perspective?
Yeah, well, you were talking about GC Lingua and building, you know, on the hard work of my predecessor. We've been able, I was very proud, because 2023, early 2024, we did finalize the implementation of all the wave of GC Lingua. So that was a huge accomplishment. And you were talking about adoption to new technology, change management. It's not easy. It's not easy for any organization. But I found the way it's been done at the Bureau. Very proud of that. And also 2023, post-pandemic, people were coming back to the office. I was attending LockWorld. There was so many kind of new technology that were out there, new NMT to choose from. So we had a buffet of basically new tools that were presented. And I think also to build on what predecessor said, is basically this notion that the Bureau would never compromise the quality. So when choosing a solution, there was always this very careful assessment, making sure that we would not compromise quality. So a lot of also interesting, fascinating discussion with your university in terms of the workforce of the future, acknowledging, yes, the profession is changing, but there's one thing that remains certain, is the need for translator in the future and the need for professional in that industry and that field.
And there's a lot of discussions around, Dominique, just to elaborate on the discussions that you have been having. And I know talking to you when you were a CEO at the time, you were having a lot of good conversation with the universities, and you and I have talked about this before. There's a lot of discussions right now is that human at the core. So when we are introducing new technologies in anything, like the language industry is part of the entire revolution that's sweeping the world right now in every industry when it comes to AI. And everybody seems to focusing on, and rightly so, on human in the middle. Somebody needs, as JF alluded to earlier, somebody needs to shape the technology. And you know, we need professional translators, we need professional engineers or lawyers to drive these technologies, because otherwise on their own, garbage in, garbage out, pardon my statement here, but I think that's the level that we're at. We need these professionals. It doesn't matter what their profession is, to enhance the technology or tell the technology the way we expect the output. Am I correct? Jeff, it's off to you.
Yes, absolutely. So again, I see the stepping stone of building and the start and the work that Donna did to really set the path, and then how we evolve. And when Dominique kind of land the translation management system that I enjoy, you know, coming in. But again, technology, at the end of the day, automation, and I teach automation earlier in the 90s when I finished school. It is all about people. We do translation for human. And the outcome and the output is human. What I see in front of me, the human at the core, Robin, is something that we've heard. As we started this podcast, there's probably two or three new tools that are available in the domain of linguistic in AI. So basically, the name of the game right now is data. And that's what I feel it's the biggest gap from a competency right now is everybody stealing one another data scientists in every business line that you can imagine. Because it's a, if we, and I know that the Translation Bureau, because of the people on this call and our predecessor, we do have the best Canadian French and Canadian English data in the world by far, by a mile. And right now, the LLM, and I like to spell things out. I learned last week that France was the country with the most acronym in their language. Let's in Canada, let's spell it. It's large language model. It's all about language. So that gives me a seat at those AI table in government, which is new. I don't think my predecessor at the time, it was so new. Now there's table to look at AI at the highest sphere of government, and language is at the heart of it. If I exclude pictures that are can be generated, 99% of the time, it's either it's language. It's either a voice, it's either a video, it's either a text, and it's based on language. So I think we need, as Canadians, to take that position that we have good data. The free LLM out there, they've used all the public data available. It's all been pumped and huge and scrunched, and it's been in the large language model. The next wave that I see is the model that are going to use clean data, good data, and they're going to be able to be precise in what they do. But for me, the technology is just a tool. Robin, maybe I was not super nice in Toronto when I said it's like a chef in a kitchen. They got new tools that you know, at the end, you still have a chef in the kitchen. Whether you got this brand new air fryer or Thermomix of the world, at the end of the day, you need an expert in the loop. I'm not sure that human will always need to be there. I see clients that are willing to give on quality what I was talking earlier on certain type of documentation. They will accept the 95-85% accuracy of the automation right away because it's something that they can expect. They have to give me the thumbs up though. But as we go in the importance of the documentation, this is where I want to save the best human, best trained people in Canada in language to really make sure that the output is good. So it's a balancing act. I haven't found the sweet spot that I wake up at night on that between what's the right mix, but on competency. Maybe I'll just finish on something that one of the former CEOs spoke about, the academia. I've met most of the university. I know Stéphane and others braze the trail, and Lucie and Dominique and Donna. We have a great reputation at the Bureau, so the universities are welcoming us, and they're happy to see us. But they all admit that they need to up their curriculum and include some data training for the linguists, and it's not there yet. Some have tried, and that's why we're really working with them, because the next generation, they might not be involved in the creation of the document, but they're going to be involved in how you can be the last quality check of a key document. We do budget, we do things in government that are so key, we don't want any mistake in there. I haven't seen it, and I think I've heard the university and the academia to say it's time to kind of bring, I think the translator or the linguistic expert of tomorrow will combine that data savviness and understanding of how you classify your data and how you train. Technology will never catch up. Technology will continue to evolve, but it's always going to need good data to train. So that's where I feel we need to kind of focus our attention right now, which is a challenge, I must say, in this space. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff, and thanks everybody for giving me input on the tech side of the Translation Bureau. Very fascinating. Now, since 1934 till 1995, let's talk business a little bit. We move away from technology. We talk a little bit about business of the Bureau. Since 1934 to 1995, the Bureau operated as an internal, regular agency, if you want to call it, or a small department inside of government. In 1995, the Bureau became a special operating agency whose services are optional, are billed on a cost recovery basis internally. And I know I've talked to you a lot about this one. If you can go around the table, like just from a business perspective, what were the highlights during your tenure in specific regarding, you know, either budgeting or, you know, cost or headcount? How did you run the business in your tenure? Donna?
Okay, so that's a good question. I set the stage earlier with the Deficit Reduction Action Plan. So that was our burning platform. But we didn't just want to say we have to reduce our costs just for the sake of reducing costs. We went out and we benchmarked internationally. And that was hugely helpful because it did illustrate what other organizations were doing, similar types of organizations. And it allowed us to basically learn and also validate some of the things that we were doing right. So the quality assurance piece was absolutely an area that we never wanted to compromise on. However, looking at some of our overhead and some of the manual aspects of our work was something we really had to focus on. And that's where some of the automation came in. It wasn't pumping automation out to the public service and those using our tools and our capacity. It was how we could manage workflow better, much more with much more agility. And I have to say that one of the aspects, it's a joke now when I think back to 2011, but we did encourage people to work remotely because we knew that that was the model that supported good quality work, work-life balance for our translators. And so it's ironic when we think about how we were pushing that ability to work remotely to give people the chance to balance their life, but also to help us remove some of the barriers that impacted our productivity. And I would end with one last piece as well. It was really listening to employees to think about ways that we could structure our business processes differently. And I'm always very, very proud of the Translation Bureau and employees who have creative ideas, who are bold in terms of presenting those creative ideas. And we were very much in the listening mode. And I know that each and every one of my colleagues, that's one of the things they brought to the table as well. Always being open to suggestions and ideas from the talented employees.
Thank you, Donna, for your you. Appreciate it. Stefan?
Thank you. That's not an easy question, Robin. Talking about being on a revolving fund that we call in Canada. So you're basically inside the government running a business, and you're an optional services, and you're just getting out of reduction act. I can't remember the budget reduction basically of all departments. Where do they cut first? Where do they think they can cut first their budget to save money in order to lay off, instead of laying off people? So translation took a hard beating during the reduction action plan. And when I came in, my thinking was, and eroded business for how do we gain back those clients? They could go to Google, do a translation, you know, publish something, everything goes well. They do that three times, and everything goes south. It doesn't go well. Then they're thinking, okay, what happened? And then they're in trouble. So, and I talked a little bit about that earlier. It was extremely important. If you're a client of any business, and you know that you take a portion, you take something and you give it to Robin, you know it's going to be done 100%. There's no legal recourse. There's nothing's going to happen to you. You're safe. You take that challenge out of your head and you pass it on to somebody that's an expert. And that's what we were trying to do. And I think we regained some clients during that time. But the idea was to take the translator and really, as much as possible, assign them or even locate them where possible with the client. They become part of their operation. They become part of their organization. And when you work closely with somebody, either virtually or in person, you tend to depend on them. You build a trust. You have a full trust in them. And then you go to them because your worries are gone. You know you're not going to be in the front page of the paper saying that you're bad translation in the government of Canada. And I think that's how we were able to rebuild that clientele until the next budget cut, because it always going to be a challenge of when is the next budget cut and what are they going to cut first? So I have mentioned that to the Senate. I don't think personally, I don't think translation or the role of the translation, and I really like where GF is going, the role of the translation shouldn't be an optional services. We're either in a bilingual country or we're not. And if we are two official languages, then the translation bureau should be, and I'm coming back to what GF said, the manager of the translation. Not necessarily the doer of the translation, but the manager of the translation for the government to ensure that that quality is there and to ensure that we have the right tool. And then that people can use the right tool, but ensuring that quality is key as we move forward.
Absolutely. Thanks, Stefan. I truly see when you're trying to the sort of a bit of a conflict going on between you want to operate as a business, but you're inside of a government and you have a set of criteria that you need to play with that is come naturally when you're part of a government, any government. And then you've got that, you know, connection to the private sector. You see what's going on. You're part of an industry. You see what's going on out there. And you want to have like the flexibility, the freedom to move. But then you have like a bit of a constraint on you because you're working within the parameters of being a federal agency. Lucy, anything on your side that you see in that regard?
Yeah, absolutely. Just complementary to everything that Stefan said, I think what for your listeners, Robin, they might be aware that in Canada we have a constitutional obligation, the Official Languages Act, which basically makes it's a quasi-constitutional requirement for government departments to communicate in both official languages simultaneously. It's not a choice. It's not a luxury. It's an obligation. So this is sets the stage. And Jean-François saying that we at Translation Bureau is one of the largest translation organizations in the world because of this policy framework that we have in Canada. In terms of business terms, managing in a revolving fund, that actually provides us with some flexibility. What that allows us to do, contrary to other government business lines, we can operate within a five-year timeline. So you can manage your surpluses and your deficits within a five-year timeline, and to be able to live within our means, make sure that we were able to manage the ebbs and flows, you know, the peaks and valleys. What we had implemented is a cap on number of full-time employees. We had maximized the use of the private sector. When I was there, we were outsourcing 60% of all words translated to the private sector. But we had included in our contracts with all of our contractors, translation companies, a vendor management clauses to make sure that we were getting the quality, because it's not only within the Translation Bureau, but we wanted to make sure huge cooperation and understanding from the industry at the time. Everyone was in agreement. The goal is to deliver high quality translations. And what we mean by high quality is compliance with the Official Languages Act. So I think that are just a couple of the things that I would add to the challenges of managing. But I agree, budget reductions, we're facing it now once again. We always have to be innovative. But what helps the Translation Bureau to always survive through these evolutions, I'd say, is that employees understand it's part of the DNA of the Translation Bureau, that they understand we are optional, we are a cost recovery. We need to be very clear on our value add. Why would departments need to come? Don't disagree with Stefan about them getting a status as a mandatory service. All of us on this team, on this meeting, have tried unsuccessfully, but I still think that should be something that is an option for Jean-François and future CEOs.
Dominique?
Yeah, it's a tough job to manage a revolving fund. And I have to say, I've got a lot of empathy for Donna who went through that. You do have the overhead of the public service. At the same time, also, the Bureau is still competing with the private sector. So something that is important to keep in mind. And also during my time, and same thing also was happening before, is clients were also equipping themselves with technology, with the detail. So how do you remain relevant? One of my fear was also that the bureau would become the blockbuster one day. So how do we position ourselves to make sure that it does not happen? We remain relevant, we adopt new technology, and I would say most importantly, we also deliver saving efficiencies to our clients. So they realize by doing business with the bureau, there's a value added that is provided, and it goes to quality, it goes also to security of documents. So really interesting time. And just lastly, also, Robin, the partnership with the Canadian industry. This is key for the Bureau. And I don't think we always emphasize that, but we wouldn't be able to deliver on a daily basis if it was not for the partnership we enjoy with the key players in that field. So thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, just for the audience, I just want to throw something out there for the audience, just point of interest. In the fiscal year of 2023-2024, the Bureau translated 371 million words, provided 47,000 hours of interpretation, created nearly 19,000 terminology record in Termium Plus, just to name a few of your accomplishments, JF and your team.
Yes.
And can you, same like what we did with the rest of the team here, can you comment on
Yes, absolutely. And again, I'm taking notes because I'm learning. It's a learning exercise for me. And I know, like, when Donna, you spoke about agility, and that's exactly what we need right now in this current day and age, whether it's through procurement, we need to be agile, but also how the way we there's going to be smaller projects that we're going to try to do. And if we have to fail, we need to fail fast because we need to move. It's a competing, it's competing pretty hard out there. When Stefan covered the business model, Stefan, I was in Moncton recently, and there was two employee of the bureau talking to me. It was kind of a town hall setting. And one of the employee was saying, well, you know, I just received this 300,000 word request for X client X, and I don't know, and they want that to super quickly, and I don't have any context and anything. And before I could even answer, and it was very emotional, as you can see, sometime when something changes in your business, you want to say, okay, that's not what I was hired for, and now things are changing. But there was another employee just beside her who turned around and put her hand on her shoulder to say, hey, you know, I'm embedded in my client, and you know what I do now? I'm like their advisor, and I'm telling them what to do earlier so they don't land to throw stuff over the fence to translation at the end of the process. So they start talking together about the two different models. And I think this is a bit of a key here, which a translator, yes, Donna, yes, they're working from home, but that's putting them away a little bit. And my interpreter in the booth, and sometimes it's tinted glass so people don't see them. Now they have to get out in the lights and try to be that communication advisor and assist any organization who's developing content to make sure that it's well positioned to be translated in the future. Lucie, tu as parlé de la loi sur les langues officielles. Il y a plusieurs nouvelles demandes, il y a plusieurs nouvelles exigences qui vont faire que ça va être très important d'avoir une qualité égale. J'ai déjà plusieurs collègues qui m'appellent pour voir comment ça fonctionne. Puis Dominique, effectivement, les liens avec l'industrie, puis il y en a d'autres qui en ont parlé, là, le make or buy decision, faut être capable de choisir dans quelles circonstances on doit travailler avec l'industrie, puis ce sont toujours des partenaires. Maintenant, la question, est-ce que être une agence optionnelle est mauvaise ou bonne? Je vais peut-être vous surprendre un peu, mais mon expérience de 28 ans à la fonction publique, les services obligatoires et les monopoles, j'ai pas tout le temps un bon goût. Je me souviens pas toujours ça avec... ça me fait pas de la joie souvent dans moi. Ben je me dis, ah, des monopoles, tu sais, c'est pas les services qui m'ont le plus épaté. Des services optionnels, on doit se mettre beau, on doit être bon, on doit être client-oriented. We need to be good at what we do. So I think that's a hidden force that the bureau should leverage on. I have some client that honestly, I'm not sure that it's a good thing to kind of maintain because it's somebody spoke about it. If everybody buys their little kitchen, at the end, we're going to be a collection of little kitchen with not a lot of standardization, and we can say bye-bye to the good data that the bureau is sitting on. So at the end of the day, I think it forces us to stay at the head of the curve and be good. And now in terms of doing more with less or less with more, which is it's still part of what we're trying to do. Imagine all the meeting that is going on in Canada in the public service, roughly 400,000 public servants. A lot of those are in only one language. So I think there's a wonderful opportunity to do more, to provide them, and maybe technology will be super helpful. I just have a tool here, MS Team and others. Now they give you subtitle, and you can also start to have voice. And there's many ways that you can bring both official languages and places that it's not. And I'm including indigenous languages into this. So I think this is the mindset that we need to continue to push on, to maybe try to, you know, go to places that we were probably not there. The Bureau is always there for Treasury Board submission, memorandum to cabinet and key document and speeches. But I think that there's that opportunity. So this is how I hope that the people from the Translation Bureau and the employees understand that we need to transform, of course, the traditional domain. And you know, well, if I was doing a quick survey, Robin, but if I go the cost per word in Donna's time, in Stefan's time, in Dominique and Lucie's time, we would have a graph. I let you imagine that graph, but the cost per word is virtually close to zero as we speak. So the value is elsewhere, and it's that's how we have to identify what's the value of Termium, what's the value of my data. There's not a lot of response to those questions, but we're really looking into it. And the monetization is even more up in the air, not only in the, at the Translation Bureau, but every LSP in the world are asking that very question.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing we didn't touch on when we spoke about the business, et cetera, is the increase of demand. So every report that you read around, especially with Gen AI, that is giving people the ability to produce more content. Sometimes they don't want to translate it via Gen AI. They probably want to send it to your team after they created an original content. But every report I read, we talk about the increase in demand, and you know, you're part of the industry, so we must be seeing increase of demand. And managing all this, you know, it's very, like for the audience, it's very difficult to imagine when you have up and down in demand, but meanwhile you have a fixed cost budget that you're trying to manage to. It's pretty near impossible. So it takes a magician to get that done. And you guys have done a phenomenal job during your tenure, you know, managing the, especially like in Lucy's case, when we have COVID and increase in volume and increase of emergencies, you know, you gotta cut through some of the rules sometimes to try to make something happen in the case of an emergency. And I'm sure, you know, 90 years passed and celebrating an anniversary of the Bureau, I'm sure there was more than one emergency that caused us to learn from and establish things a little bit better. I love what JF and all of you guys are concluding here. We've learned from the past, we're looking to the future, and it sounds like the future is bright. And as I'm cognizant of the time here, I want to make sure that we, you know, give you enough time to, you know, say your last comments before we wrap it up. This is a great occasion to be part of this group, to celebrate with you on this podcast the 90th year anniversary of the Translation Bureau. I wish you all nothing but the best in your current positions, JF, Lucy, Dominique, and Stefan and Donna. This is an absolute pleasure for me, for my audience, to hear from you. And this sheds a lot of light on the conversation that need to be have once in a while. Bring you in and do a pulse check on what's going on. You're a very important institution, not just in Canada, globally. So I can't emphasize this enough. Thank you again. So any last comments, we'll go from Donna and off to the rest of the team.
Merci, Robin, encore. Et je suis tellement contente quand JF a parlé de la relève et les jeunes et l'avenir. Ça, c'est vraiment primordial pour tout le monde. I'm thrilled to hear about work with the universities and that we're bringing on the next generation of language and data experts that are going to make a difference for the government of Canada and for our competition globally. We have so much to offer, so much quality. And rest assured, I remain the Bureau's champion, and I look forward to celebrating its continued success and reaching that 100-year milestone, mm-hmm. which it will do with great flair. Merci encore, Robin, et mes collègues. Thank you, and best of luck to all of you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Merci Robin pour l'invitation. Puis je crois qu'il y a de grands défis. Il y a de grands défis pour les langues officielles, les langues autochtones. Puis je pense qu'on a l'équipe pour les relever. Une équipe, une organisation qui a évolué au travers les années. Puis sous la direction de Jean-François, je suis convaincu que l'organisation va continuer à évoluer et va relever les défis qui sont devant elle.
Absolument.
Je suis toujours un grand supporteur du Bureau de la traduction.
Lucie?
My predecessors were very eloquent. Thank you very much, Robin. Je vais céder la parole à mon collègue Dominique.
Écoutez, merci Robin. On n'a pas 90 ans tous les jours, puis le bureau va sûrement célébrer son centenaire, j'en suis convaincu. One of the things that you did mention is that the bureau enjoy a reputation, a stellar reputation across the world, and this is something that we should never forget. So a huge thanks for kind of also organizing this event, Robin. It's also an opportunity to thank you for your love, your passion of the industry, the translation. You've been there for many years, so thanks for your leadership in that field.
Appreciate it. Jean-François?
Yeah, and Dominique stole a little bit of my thunder because I said one thing that struck me, I was told about the culture, how great the people were, the magic of the Translation Bureau, but I'm amazed by the reputation. And frankly, sometimes even outside of my management table and outside of government, because when you land in another country or you're talking to other colleagues in the industry, the Translation Bureau reputation is very impressive. I'm going to do everything I can to continue to maintain that and grow even the knowledge. But as a Canadian language industry, I think it's time to get together even more. We need to circle the wagon a bit. I think there's a good Canadian industry in the language domain, in AI, in data, that we could definitely take a key position, because Canada is one of the only country in the world get those two official languages embedded in all our legislation. And I think we should take advantage of that. The Bureau can play a bit of a backbone for that, but I think it's going to be everybody. And I like what Donna said, the university, the industry, the government and the regulation all around that to ensure that bright future. And yes, I'm looking forward to the 100th anniversary. And thank you for bringing us together, Robin.
My pleasure. Hey, for the audience and for the panel that we have, thank you so much for joining me this morning. I really appreciate your input. I really appreciate this conversation in the honor of the occasion that we're celebrating today, the 90th anniversary of the Translation Bureau. For our audience, thank you for listening in. Thanks for tuning in if you're coming in on our podcast. And thanks for viewing us on YouTube if you're watching us on YouTube. We appreciate you liking, commenting, and sharing this content that we're creating for you on a weekly basis. Thanks again for the audience. And thank you again for the panelists. From the bottom of my heart, I wish you all the best with you and your team at the Translation Bureau.
Merci, Robin. Et salutations à tous les auditeurs et tous les employés du Bureau de la Traduction. Merci beaucoup. Bye-bye.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci.